Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, June 28th, a very warm day, to say the least, here in the North Texas area. Today, we're going to talk. I have a post, and I want to get into this a little bit today. I have a post coming out Friday morning about Democrats and ICE. You may have heard that some Democrats are calling for the elimination of ICE, and I've got some thoughts on that particular point. López Obrador, I have a post this morning about the over at the American Thinker, where I talk about López Obrador because he keeps reminding me of the 2008 Obama campaign when we had what many of us thought were these crazy crowds that would just show up to hear the candidate, and none of them were even listening to what he was saying because he had nothing tangible or specific to say other than just a bunch of generalities about hope and change and all of that. And if you go down to Mexico, it's almost a replica of what we saw here with President Obama or then Senator Obama running for president in 2008. I want to begin, though, getting back a little bit to this very important topic of the opening in the Supreme Court. Justice Kennedy is retiring, so there's an opening. And to see the reaction of some Democrats is hilarious on one end, but also frightening on the other, because it's like, my goodness, you know, we replace a man in the Supreme Court and our entire republic, or at least what they call the republic, is going to collapse. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, people need to get a little bit more serious. I mean, he's a judge, of course. He's very important. He's in the Supreme Court. But, you know, he will be replaced by somebody else and life will go on. Now, the biggest fear, and you keep hearing this from the Democrats, the biggest fear is that he's going to, or the next judge will be the vote that takes Roe v. Wade or overturns Roe v. Wade, as if Roe v. Wade is something that cannot be overturned, or Roe v. Wade was, you know, a law that has to go to Congress for. No, Roe v. Wade was an opinion of the Supreme Court in 1973. Now, many of us believe that it was a wrong opinion, not because I want to get into a debate about abortion. Now, I believe abortion is immoral because abortion is the taking of a human life. I mean, the only reason that a woman has an abortion is to prevent a baby from growing inside of her. There's no other reason for an abortion. All this crap about health care is just crap. There's only one reason why you have an abortion, and that's to prevent a baby that happens 8 months, 9 months later, whatever the timeline. So I believe abortion is the taking of human life, and, you know, I have three sons, so I can tell you what I'm talking about when it comes to pregnancy. But the real problem with Roe v. Wade was not a rejection of abortion as much as I may reject it on a moral ground. The real problem is that this is a decision that should have been made by the voters at the state legislatures, the governors, the Congress, and the president. It should have been made within our constitutional framework, which there's no place in our constitutional framework for a judge to invent a right to an abortion. That really was the problem with Roe v. Wade. So Roe v. Wade has now put the United States as one of the very few countries in the world where there are no restrictions on abortion tolerated. If you try to have any restriction on abortion, as we tried to do here in Texas, or as we did here in Texas, a couple of years ago, they automatically run to the Supreme Court and say they're taking our abortion rights away. We're not taking your abortion rights away. We just want a 15-year-old to get consent from her parents that she can have an abortion. Or we just want to make sure that the abortion clinics meet certain standards. But because of Roe v. Wade, we have this absolute right to an abortion that makes it impossible for anybody to do what they've done in many other countries. In many other countries, Ireland, for example, has just approved abortion. Well, Ireland has voted for abortion, but only in the first 12 weeks of the pregnancy. An abortion after 12 weeks is not allowed. Well, in the United States, we don't have such a thing. And one of the reasons we don't is because it was basically an opinion of the Supreme Court without the kind of compromising that would have happened had this happened at a state legislature. So that's really my beef with Roe v. Wade. Now, of course, the Democrats are in panic over Justice Kennedy leaving because they think that the next justice is going to vote against Roe v. Wade. Well, he may. He or she may. I don't know what the next justice is going to do, and I don't know what the next case that will come to the Supreme Court on abortion will be. There is a very interesting case coming out of Iowa that has something to do with the heartbeat, that if you can hear the heartbeat, then you cannot have an abortion. That, of course, is because of all the technology we now have that allows us to do things like that, listen to a heartbeat early in the pregnancy. But again, if this were to go to the Supreme Court, or Roe v. Wade were to be overturned by the Supreme Court, it doesn't mean the end of abortion. It just means that abortion goes back to the states, and then the state legislatures will write some kind of an abortion. Some states may decide, no, we don't legalize abortion. My guess is that the majority of the states will come up with, will have their own Roe v. Wade, but it'll have all kinds of restrictions on it. For example, it'll say no abortion after 20 weeks or no abortion, you know, like what we just saw in Ireland. And frankly, what we see in most countries in the world, which is they have restrictions on abortion. It's not absolute, as is the case here in the United States. The other point I would like to make to all of the people who are in panic over Roe v. Wade is that if you take this to the people, if you take this to the citizens and the citizens vote one way or the other, then if abortion is so popular, or the right to an abortion, I should say, is so popular and has such strong feelings among women, then the Democrats have nothing to worry about, because, you know, women across the country will express their support of a Roe v. Wade in their states, and the states will have abortion. So, you know, I get really worried about the Democrats, because on one hand they're telling me that everybody supports Roe v. Wade, and then on the other hand they're scared to death of putting Roe v. Wade in the hands of voters. I mean, there's a contradiction there somewhere. So, look, who knows when Roe v. Wade will be overturned, if ever. My sense it is that we're headed in that direction, and I think we'll see it over the next 5 years. It has nothing to do with Justice Kennedy. It's just the technology has gotten to the point where it's becoming more and more obvious to anybody who wants to pay attention that there's a life inside a woman, and you can hear that life at a very early stage. So I think that eventually, technology will eventually overturn Roe v. Wade or come up with all kinds of restrictions for Roe v. Wade. But this crazy attitude on the part of Democrats that, you know, the retirement of Justice Kennedy is like the end of the world. Please, it's not the end of the world. It just means that there's going to be another justice, and you will have a chance to make your case before the Supreme Court. And believe me, there's hundreds of other cases the Supreme Court is going to hear, but for some reason, the only thing that matters to the left is the topic of abortion. And that, in a sense, it's, and let me just say one more thing about this. One of the reasons why I want Roe v. Wade to be overturned is because every judicial nomination now becomes nothing but a fight over abortion. I mean, look, going back to Justice Bork almost 30 years ago, and look at the every time a Republican appoints somebody to the Supreme Court or nominates, whether it was Roberts or Alito or Gorsuch, and now whoever this next person is, it's all about abortion. You get like 65,000 questions from the Democrat senators. Every question is about abortion. Or, you know, are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? Tell me the truth. And then they ask it 10,000 different ways, but it's the same question. And in a way, Roe v. Wade, I think, has poisoned the atmosphere in the Senate, particularly the Senate confirmation hearings, that now turn on nothing but abortion. It would be nice to remove that so that we can have, you know, adults talking about legal issues that have nothing to do with abortion, because at the end of the day, those matter as much as the abortion ruling does. So that's the reason that I would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned. David Brooks, who I know he's not very popular nowadays with a lot of conservatives, but David Brooks a few years ago wrote a fantastic piece on Roe v. Wade, talking about how Roe v. Wade had just poisoned the atmosphere in the Senate. He was talking about the Sam Alito hearings back in 2005. And he was talking about how, you know, what used to be a Senate where people you know, got along fairly well, has now been poisoned by the debate over abortion. And he makes the case that Roe v. Wade has done more to blow up the attitudes among members of the Senate, because, again, every confirmation becomes about Roe v. Wade or abortion, and it's completely, completely crazy. So overturn it, and let the people decide. And if the people want abortion, they'll find it. They'll get it. They'll get it through their legislatures. Except that I think the legislatures will also come up with some restrictions that make a lot of sense, like 12 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever it may be, restrictions that happen in most countries in the world. I think that there's very few countries in the world that have it the way we have it, where you can have an abortion after 20 weeks. China, Cuba, and North Korea, I believe, are the only three. So that's the kind of company we're in right now, China, Cuba, and North Korea when it comes to abortion. That's not a company that I want to keep when it comes to anything, and especially not with respect to abortion. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then we'll come back with a few more thoughts.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we've got a link to that on the show information. Right under the show description, you'll see Carlos Geddes' schedule. You click on that, and you'll be able to follow him around town. Let me say happy number 56 to John Elway, one of the great quarterbacks of NFL history, of course, with the Denver Broncos. He won two Super Bowls in the 90s, and then he lost three in the late 80s. So he played in five of them, winning two, losing three. But he was just a great, great quarterback in the NFL. And I want to take you back to 1941. On this day in 1941, Joe DiMaggio got number 40, therefore becoming only the fifth player in Major League history to hit in 40 or more consecutive games. Of course, he would go on to way over 40, but it was on this day that he hit number 40 and really got into some pretty amazing historical territory. Only five other players, or six other players, have gone over 40. Only one, DiMaggio, has gone over 44. He eventually made it to 56. So Joe DiMaggio hit number 40 on this day in 1941. A couple of issues that I wanted to share with you. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning regarding López Obrador in Mexico. He's a left-wing candidate who's conducting a campaign that, you know, pretty intensive campaign. According to the experts, he's going to win election on Sunday, July the 1st. I'm not convinced of that. I may be totally crazy, but I'm not convinced of that, because when I talk to my Mexican friends, they don't believe the polls that are coming out. So I have no way of saying that the polls are wrong, because I really don't know, but I'll listen to my Mexican friends who keep telling me that there's still a very large undecided vote in Mexico. So we'll see what happens. But López Obrador, if you follow his campaign, as I have been following his campaign here for the last few weeks, it reminds you a great deal of Obama 2008. And what I mean by that is all the promises and all the rhetoric and the crowds that are just completely, almost like in another planet with the candidate. The candidate, they don't even know what the candidate is saying. I mean, it's like Obama, hope and change, we're the change we've been waiting for. Those kinds of presentations that Obama made in 2008. And that's what this reminds you of. And I think what's going to happen is, if he does win, there's going to be some huge disappointment, because there's a lot of promises that he's making that he simply cannot carry out without causing tremendous damage to the Mexican economy and creating even more problems than Mexico has right now. So in a way, I wish he would win so that the left in Mexico would have all this disappointment with their candidate. But on the other hand, I think for the good of Mexico, I hope that somebody else comes in. Who exactly? There's a couple of guys running as well, Mr. Anaya, Mr. Mead. I think the only one that seems like a viable person to defeat him right now with Mr. Anaya. And I know a lot of Mexicans have told me that they're kind of waiting until the last minute to sort of put their support with whoever they think is more likely to beat him. So there may be a surprise in Mexico on Sunday. That's all I will tell you. There may be a surprise in Mexico on Sunday, and we'll talk about it on Monday when we do our next show. You may have heard, I'm sure you have, those of you who follow the news, that the Democrats, many Democrats are now calling for the elimination of ICE, you know, the Immigration Enforcement Agency, and they want to do away with ICE because there's even one Democrat, Cynthia Nixon in New York, who's running for the governor, who's saying that ICE is a terrorist organization, which is, that's the kind of thing that really irritates me when somebody makes a statement like that. I mean, it's just total ignorance on the part of Cynthia Nixon. But other Democrats are calling for the elimination of ICE. And I think it's a big mistake, by the way, because I think most Americans understand that ICE is doing a very difficult job. It's very difficult when you have a bunch of kids show up on your border. I mean, it's very difficult to deal with it. I think most Americans understand that these people are doing the best they can under very difficult circumstances down there on the border. But the problem with a lot of Democrats, and especially a lot of Hispanic Democrats, is that I think they misunderstand the Hispanic vote. Hispanics don't, I mean, for the ones I talk to, they don't want ICE eliminated. They do want the border protected, okay? And I think that this is the mistake Democrats are making, that they're sort of, I think, giving up really the immigration issue to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is winning this election if the issue is protecting the border. In other words, if this is an election about ICE versus illegal immigrants, Trump is going to win, and he's going to win big, and the Republicans are going to win big. So the Democrats ought to be as angry with illegal immigrants as they are with ICE. But apparently what's happening now in the Democratic Party, the left in the Democratic Party is basically taking over the party. The good news about that is that they're destroying the party. The bad news is that we're probably going to have to get into a lot of these debates with them before November. But my goodness, eliminating ICE is a pretty stupid idea. Now, the Republicans should take advantage of this politically, and I think Speaker Ryan and my Majority Leader McConnell should schedule a vote in the House and in the Senate on ICE. There should be a vote. Let's have an up-and-down vote. Let's see who votes yes. Let's see who votes no. My guess is that not many people will vote, even Democrats, will vote to eliminate ICE. So let's call their bluff. Let's see how many actually believe this and settle this the right way, which is on the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate. It's not going to happen because the Democrats don't want to be talking about immigration this year. But it would be nice to put them on the record and see which ones actually believe that and which ones don't. I cannot believe what is happening to the Democrat Party. I mean, it really is amazing to see not just how far to the left, but how crazy they're getting. It's not just, this is not, you know, it's one thing to be a liberal. It's another thing to call for the elimination of ICE. I just think that there's a big difference there. And unfortunately, it's this radical left that has just completely taken over the Democrat Party. And I think they're going to suffer politically from it. So for us Republicans, it's good news if we can put up with these next 6 months of people like Cynthia Nixon and some of these other Democrats who are running in some pretty weird campaign platforms. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Very warm here in North Texas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.